Good morning. The Senate Education Committee meeting is called to order. Today is Wednesday, January 26, 2022. The time is 9:04 a.m. We're meeting in the State Capitol Room, number 205. Full house today. Senators in attendance are Senator Hughes, Senator Stevens, Senator Machicki, Senator Begich, and myself as chair, Senator Holland. Thank you to Kelsey, our moderator today, and Mary Gwen and Carrie, our recording secretaries for the day. As a reminder, please silence your cell phones. Today we will bring back the two House bills we heard last week. First up is House Bill 53, back before the committee. House Bill 53 is a bill relating to military children's school residency waivers. This is the second hearing for HB 53. At this time, I will open up public testimony. Is there anyone in the room? Does any member of the public in the room wish to testify? Seeing none, I see no one. I'm pretty sure I see no one online. I'll confirm there's no one online waiting to testify. Public testimony is now closed. There were two outstanding questions from last Friday. I'll point members to a memo from my office that addresses those issues. We do have a couple of representatives from the Department of Revenue available for questions. And I see Corey Bigelow or Kimberly Lane. I see Corey Bigelow online right now. Corey Bigelow, would you care to address the question of PFD eligibility?
Sure, this is Corey Bigelow for the record. Would you read the question for me so I can hear it, please?
A brief at ease. All right, we're back on the record. Sorry about that. We're going to turn your volume up a little bit. State your name, your affiliation, and your location. Put yourself on the record. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Bigelow, the question we asked was, would HB 53's waiver allowing an out-of-state student to register for school allow the student to qualify for the permanent fund dividend earlier? There's a written response. We just want to read that into the record, if you wouldn't mind responding to that question.
Sure, Corey Bigelow, PFD Division Operations Manager. Thank you to the chair. According to PFD stats and regulations, we would follow the regulations that are provided in 15 AAC 23.143. That provide the residency outline for Alaskans. And according to this bill, we would continue to follow the regulations, and we do not expect that it would affect a minor's eligibility determination.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Begich. Thank you, Mr. Bigelow. And then let's see. I see Heidi Teschner's online, and there's a question. I'll go ahead and I'll cut to the chase on this. The question number two is, could the early enrollment provisions of House Bill 53 provide, could the early enrollment provisions of House Bill 53 potentially allow the double counting of a student if the parent is moving between bases in Alaska? The official Department of Education response was no, all students enrolled in Alaska schools are issued a unique student ID, so if a student is enrolled in Anchorage, then moves to Fairbanks, the department will be able to identify the overlap in enrollment and make sure that the student is only counted as one full-time equivalent. Ms. Teschner, do you have any further input on that?
Good morning, Chair Holland. Can you hear me?
Just fine.
For the record, Heidi Teschner, Acting Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Education and Early Development, and I have no additional response beyond what you had read, but available for additional questions from the committee if there are any.
Are there any other questions from the committee? Seeing none at this time, thank you, Ms. Teschner. Did you put herself on the record? All right, sorry about that. I was distracted for that moment. All right, no other questions from the committee. Senator Stevens, while Senator Stevens has his statement, Representative McCarty, would you care to come up to the presenter's table?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just think it's important to read that last line from the Department of Revenue concerning the residency. And it says, from the Department of Revenue, under the residency requirements of permanent fund dividend program, it is not possible for an applicant to establish a residency before their physical arrival in the state. I think that just underlines it and clarifies it, and it's simply not possible. I appreciate the response we received. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Senator Stevens. All right. Do members have any further questions from the sponsor? Seeing none, are there any amendments? None were submitted before the deadline yesterday. Is there any further debate on this bill? Seeing none. Representative McCarty, do you have any closing comments on the closing remarks on the bill?
Thank you, Chair. This is Representative Ken McCarty from Eagle River Chugiak J-Bear. And this has been a process for a couple of years to recognize our military families coming into the state. And this has been something that the DOD has been inquiring of many states to do that. And so it's quite an honor to bring this before the body to the committees to make this happen and say we are wanting to make it easy for families coming in that they don't have to worry about the enrollment of their children into classes. So thank you for hearing this and moving it forward.
Thank you, Representative McCarty. At this time, I will look to the will of the committee.
Just one alibi, Senator Hughes. I just want to thank you for bringing it forward, and I'm guessing this might be your first bill that has the potential to go all the way through and pass, so I'm happy that we got to be a part of it, so I just thought I'd mention that.
Any other comments from the committee? Seeing none, I will look to the will of the committee.
Mr. President, Mr. Chairman, I move that House Bill 53, Work Order 32-LS0344/BA, be reported from the Senate Education Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Without objection, House Bill 53 has been reported from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. We'll do a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. Thank you, Representative McCarty. Good morning, Senate Education Committee's back on the record. Next up, we will hear, we'll bring House Bill 19 back before the committee. HB 19 is related to limited teacher certificates. Out of consideration of public's time, I will open public testimony for HB 19 before taking further questions on this bill. So at this time, we're opening up public testimony. Does any member of the public in the room wish to testify? Seeing none, on this thing and see is I do not believe there is anyone online waiting to testify. Thank you, Kelsey. Public testimony with no one waiting online to testify. Public testimony is now closed. Representative Christ Tompkins, would you please take a seat at the presenter's table? Didn't mean to interrupt you mid-sip there. Timing's everything.
Never can have enough coffee.
During the first hearing on this bill, members had some questions. I believe many of them were addressed. Do members have any further questions for the sponsor? Senator Hughes.
I did speak to the sponsor, Representative Christ Tompkins, off after the meeting, but I think getting a couple things on record might be good. And one of them was our concern, and I think Senator Stevens shared it a bit, and maybe others, about high school teachers. The preference would be that they'd be fully certified rather than have a limited certificate just because of the level of the coursework that they're responsible to teach to students. And at the same time, you know, so we could have maybe limited it to sixth grade, eighth grade, whatever. But understanding that school board superintendents and dean all understand that high school coursework is advanced and they're going to be seeking certified, fully certified teachers, I'm comfortable not adding that, but I did want to get it on the record so that understand that has been a concern of the committee. And I also want to mention Commissioner Johnson talked about an innovative idea that another state is doing and that might be something we'll look into, and it's a teacher's residency program similar to a medical residency program. And I'm hoping that if we set something up like that, that might be a route for those receiving limited certificates to become fully certified. So it might work a little bit better for them than having to drop everything and go, you know, sit on a university campus full time. So that is, just want to say that would probably help satisfy our concern too about the high school level teachers. So I just want to put that comment. The second thing is a question, because when I believe his name was Brandon from the Anchorage School District was giving us data about the higher science scores that the students were receiving that were in language immersion programs, I had a question whether those were students that were being taught by someone that it was a fully certified teacher or not, because it makes a difference on the data, because we're curious, are they going to do really well in science if they have a teacher with a limited certificate? So were you able to find out about that data?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, I think Brandon would be the best source for that. And I think he may be online. If not, I can coordinate with him. He and I did have a brief conversation this weekend.
It does appear that Brandon Locke is online. Brandon, are you out there? Can you hear me?
I am, sir. Thank you.
Please state your name, your affiliation, and your location. Put yourself on the record.
Sure. Brandon Locke, Director of World Language and Immersion Programs, Anchorage School District, and I'm calling in from Anchorage.
And did you hear the question?
I did, and I don't have the exact data on, you know, who the teachers were. It was a couple years worth of science SBA results, so there could have been one or two teachers in there with a limited cert of some sort, but probably not the vast majority of them.
Follow up?
Senator Hughes?
Okay, thank you. I think that it's just important to state that, because we don't want to misrepresent that these were limited certified teachers, so it's something to keep an eye on, and it actually would be really encouraging if we kind of watch that as we do provide were to pass, and there we have limited certified teachers around the state, to be really looking at those math and science, those other subject area scores, to make sure those students are staying up and doing well. And I understand too, and I think you mentioned in your introduction, learning language like music is something that really develops the brain in a different kind of way, can actually enhance the learning in those other subject areas. So I would expect at least in the elementary school levels, it wouldn't be a problem with math and science. But if we had data to back that up down the road, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate Senator Hughes' comments. And, you know, I think in the end, we really have to trust the school boards to do the right thing. They know what's going on in their communities. They know what best affects the children that they're working with. And so I think they will be very careful about using this and use it in the right way and not abuse it. So trust the school boards. I spent 3 years as school board president. It was an amazing experience, and you really do learn what's going on in education at that level. So that'd be my advice, just trust the school boards, do the right thing.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to Representative Christ-Hunkins. That's where I am, too, where I really think where possible the attention that school districts should give to this bill should it pass is that where they are adopting the limited certificate, they should provide whatever resources they have to ensure the capacity to teach is something that these teachers have. So observation of those teachers, this is a recommendation from a member of the education committee to those districts that would adopt this should it pass, and that is that they provide the support to ensure that those teachers where they have deficits in their ability to teach are provided the support to correct those deficits. And I do love the commissioner's idea of perhaps somewhere down the road a path to becoming fully eligible teachers. So I think it's a good bill. With those cautions, I can be comfortable knowing that those cautions are on the record.
Thank you, Senator Begich. With no other questions or comments from the committee, are there any amendments? No proposed amendments. Is there any further debate? Seeing none. Representative Christ-Tompkins, do you have some closing remarks on your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the committee discussion, conversation, as well as getting these points on the record, because I think, well, to points made by Senator Stevens and Senator Hughes, this is important for, I mean, very much how the agency and the State Board of Education carry this out and the sort of North Star that they have. And I think it's aligned with some of the points made on the record. I feel similarly for what it's worth. And then, you know, on the school boards too, because really both, both have to be in alignment for this even to happen. And so I think all the entities are sort of generally on the same page, and at least I as sponsor feel that way as well.
Thank you, Representative Christ-Tompkins. With no other comments from the committee, I will look for Senator Machicki.
I sometimes I just choose not to say anything, but I think this is an important thing to consider. The last study I saw, the nation was $850,000, or 850 teachers short of meeting their requirements. That was a couple of years old. I'm betting that we're, and things have gone downhill from there, I'm betting we're closer to a million, and we're going to have to be creative on how we fill our classrooms with qualified teachers. So I appreciate this approach, and I hope it opens up some creativity to consider other options. It's just the reality of where we are. I'm not sure I understand the reasons why. I think they're more probably societal than considering the teacher used to be revered in the classroom, and I think things have changed somewhat. I think we're going to have to look for people that are willing to put themselves in that position and find ways for them to be certificated, and this is just a creative way to look at it. I think we need to become more creative, and that is not to soften the standards. It is to help identify people that may not know that they're very talented teachers that may become that way. So I appreciate the approach, and I think it's an ongoing problem. We passed the retire rehire bill to try to get Stevens back to work and get other folks into the classroom that are qualified. But the reason we're doing those things is we have a challenge, and it's something we're going to have to meet if our kids are going to have an adequate education going forward. So thanks for that.
Excellent comments, especially getting my vice back to work. But with no other comments, I will look to the will of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I move that House Bill 19, Work Order 32-LS0169-I, be reported from the Senate Education Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Without objection, House Bill 19 has been reported from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. We will break to do the paperwork in just a second, but I'll go ahead and wrap it up. Our next meeting is scheduled for Friday, January 28th at 9 a.m. However, I'm going to cancel that meeting at this time, and we will meet again next week. Is there any other business for the committee? Seeing none, surprisingly, we are adjourned at 9:24 a.m.